this man who is the patron of the church first learned how to be head of a household when he was head of the house with Mary and Jesus. Now, the first reading is the promise made to David. David wanted to build a house for the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go tell my servant David, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house, the house of David." And so this first reading and this oracle to David, you see, lived in the Jewish people. They knew that the Messiah, when he finally came, would be Ben David. He'd be son of David. And so that's the promise God made to David. Well, that was about, well, sometime in the 900 years past, and the people were still waiting. And then there was the Annunciation to Mary, you know. And now came the question. She was engaged to Joseph, but now she was pregnant. And of course, she told Joseph. Now, the prevailing thought is, well, Joseph, this is disgraceful. I don't know how she got pregnant, but I'm just going to let her go peacefully and let God handle it. But there's another explanation, very dear to the fathers of the church and to Saint Bernard and to others. Mary told Joseph, and he believed her. And then his reaction was like that of Peter. Do you remember when Peter, when the Lord had this miraculous draught of fishes? And Peter saw this and said, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. This is too holy for me, all this stuff. That was Joseph's reaction too. This is so awesome that God himself has conceived this child who is to be the Messiah. That's too holy for me to be around." And that's why he decided to divorce her quietly. And I think that's the better explanation of what went on. It was just too much. Because when the angel finally came to him, he said, "Joseph, son of David," so he's passing on the Davidic line, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Why would he be afraid? Well, now he's afraid. He's filled with awe when Mary explained to him what the angel had said to her about the child in her womb. And he just said, this is beyond me. And so he wanted to just divorce her quietly and leave it to God. But an angel came and said, "Joseph, son of David," because that's how, see, legally, our Lord is son of David because his father is Joseph, legally. "Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And this is the first example of his obedience. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel had commanded him, and he took his wife into his home. And that's the origin. Huh? This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about, Matthew tells us. This is how. So now, many centuries later, we're still trying to understand that kind of holiness. You know, he was a very manly guy. He had a trade. He supported his family. But all the time, he was in awe. He knew he had a duty to protect the child and his mother. But he knew that this was beyond him. And so he did that, and he took care of that family. We don't have any details about when he died. But of course, the tradition of the church is to pray to Saint Joseph for a happy death, because when he was dying, there was Mary and Jesus right there. That would be a nice way to die. Well, if we pray for it, why not? We know so little about him. It took almost 20 centuries before we made him the patron of the church. He's a quiet, very holy man, feared God in the best sense of the term, you see, and he loved Mary. And as St. Thomas said, well, now, was that a real marriage? Because they never had relations with one another, is that a real marriage? And he said, of course. It's a man and a woman committed to each other, and the fruit is a child. Miraculously, but a child. So that's a real marriage, and that's why nowadays, particularly as the centuries have gone on and we've begun to appreciate who St. Joseph is, we have prayers to Mary and Joseph and Jesus for the sake of families. What kind of delicacy of love was in that family. And this man, who had to, I'm sure, put up with some of the chatter of the neighbors about Mary, had to walk all the way to Egypt to protect him, come all the way back, go back to Nazareth. Now, in those days, there wasn't even a road to Nazareth. Nobody went there unless they had to. It was a very poor town, and small, up on a hill. Well, it's still up on a hill. It's not small anymore. I can remember, I think it was the first time I visited Nazareth when I lived over there. Now, Assisi is a beautiful little village, a town, still. And it's suffused with a certain aura. And there's the Basilica of St. Francis, there's the home where he lived, it's all there. You go to Nazareth, it's a great big bustling place, you know, Muslims and Christians and everybody, and a big cathedral in the middle of it. So I was praying to the Lord. And I said, Lord, you let St. Francis take care of his town. How come you didn't take care of your town? I thought I heard him say, I like to take care of my friends. I like to have, you know. If Francis's town is better than mine, I'm glad. That's Jesus. And so, what does that mean for us? It means, you see, the grace that Joseph had was that he was faithful. He obeyed the Lord. He took that child to Egypt so that Herod couldn't kill him. And of course they walked. And they had to walk through the desert. And not everybody in the desert is friendly. Now, was he with a safari? Or a caravan, or was he by himself and, you know, Mary? We don't know. But he did a long walk into Egypt. And then, when the time was right, Jesus begins to recapitulate the history of his people. He comes from Egypt back to the Promised Land. And he goes to Nazareth. And how much he learned from Jesus. Think about it. You know, that was a very that none of the laws of humanity were abrogated. The influence of a father on a son. Where does all that beautiful imagery that Jesus has in his parables, where does that come from? It comes from Joseph and Mary. You know, his mind was formed by these two because he's God, yes, but he's very human as well. And so his whole view of life and his emotional trust in the Father, even in the agony in the garden, Father, if there's any way out of this, I take it, but not what I want, but what you want. With his whole heart and soul, with his whole emotional life, I want your will. What prepared him for that? All those years with a father he could totally trust. And so he was prepared in his humanity to trust the Father right through death. So that's Joseph. We should pray to him, especially the men, pray to Joseph to be that kind of a faithful servant.